NDR Info. Nachtclub.
Unser Mikrofon ist immer noch Paul Baskerville. Joy Division mit Shadow Play von dem Album Unknown Pleasures 1979. So nun Ausschnitte eines Interviews, das ich 1983 mit Bernard Sumner von New Order geführt habe. Und auch ein paar Ausschnitte eines Interviews mit Tony Wilson. Er war der Chef von Factory Records, der natürlich Joy Division entdeckt hat. Und das Interview mit Tony Wilson stammt von 1991. Zur Erinnerung, Ian Curtis ist im Mai vor 35 Jahren verstorben. 1981 gab es das New Order Debütalbum Movement. Und als ich Bernard Sumner damals getroffen habe in einem Hotel in Hamburg, dann war ich, glaube ich, ein bisschen verwirrt darüber, wie die Band sich verändert hatte. Das Debütalbum Movement war mit der Musik von Joy Division sehr verwandt gewesen, aber das 83er Album Power, Corruption and Lies war deutlich anders. Und erst recht die Single Blue Monday, die sogenannte Standalone-Single, die so erfolgreich war und war nicht auf dem Album vertreten. Erstmal erklärt uns Bernard Sumner, wie die neue elektronische Musik von New Order eine gewisse Wärme ausstrahlt, sondern erzählt, wie die Band sich zwangsläufig verändert hatte, nachdem Ian Curtis gestorben ist.
Do you mean because we use sequences and drum machines?
No, I mean music is somebody's an idea, personal idea expressed through a certain medium, which is sound. Whether you use a drum machine or whether you use real drums, it's still that idea. So it's still a personal idea. I think people forget about drum machines and sequences is that if you put rubbish in them, you get rubbish out. Or if you put cold music in a sequence, you get cold music out. But I don't think what we play is impersonal or cold. Just listen to all the mistakes in it.
Yeah, that certainly makes it human, I suppose. Yeah.
Because we don't feel the same now. We're more experienced because of things that have happened since those days. And I think music reflects that.
Could you be a bit more specific as to the transitions you've been through?
Yeah.
Personally?
Well, obviously, Ian dying has changed everything an awful lot. You know, you weren't going to be the same after Ian died, personally and musically, because your music reflects your personal feeling.
New Order mit Everything's Gone Green, eine Single von 1981. Als nächstes erzählt Bernard Sumner, wie Joy Division eigentlich immer so lustige und heitere Typen waren, gar nicht so düster, wie man vermutet hat. Und er sagt, dass die Entwicklung bei Joy Division und New Order wie eine Kettenreaktion funktioniert hat. Eins führte einfach zum anderen.
We've never been like that as people, not even Joy Division. We're not like that. We're not like what people think, really. I suppose music's got more light-hearted because when we did Movement, we were trying hard to produce a good album. And after that, we just stopped trying, really. Right, and we found that by not trying, by just enjoying yourself, it worked a lot better. That's what I think. Yeah, but it wouldn't have been, because Blue Monday was a culmination of experiences. Yeah, it's all a huge chain reaction. Without transmission, there wouldn't have been She's Lost Control. Without She's Lost Control, there wouldn't have been Love Will Tear Us Apart. So on and so on. No, it's a big chain reaction.
Transmission von Joy Division. Ich hatte 1991 Tony Wilson, den Chef von Factory Records, interviewt und er verstarb 2007. Er erklärt gleich, wie Transmission viel erfolgreicher hätte sein können und wie Joy Division überhaupt viel kommerziell erfolgreicher hätten sein können. Aber das Factory Label hatte eine sture Vorstellung vom Begriff Integrität.
We happen to come across integrity.
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
I don't know, really. Integrity was just it was, probably a game that we wanted to play at that time. I mean, I can remember with the Palatine double set, quadruple set, opens with Transmission by Joy Division. I remember hearing that and thinking, dance, dance to the radio. My God, this is fabulous. We can, this will get on Radio 1. We'll have a big hit with this one. God, it's great. And going and getting a plugger sorted out in London who would make Radio 1 play it, which is all important in Britain. And then going back to my four partners, Gretton, Hannah, Erasmus and Savile. It was a five people ran the company in the beginning. And we all sat and discussed it. And they decided, no, we won't plug. So all five of us decided, no, we won't. It was just willfulness. It was being different, being, you know, having loads of wacky ideas about not treating the music as product. The music should sell itself, you know. Absolutely stupid. I mean, it's absolute crap. The music doesn't sell itself. You've got to get out there and sell. I mean, I remember I used to have this theory that, you know, the Pink Floyd made it without having to have a hit single. And I always held to this, you know, that things will get through. And someone at PolyGram in Canada, in Montreal, one night said to me, why do you think the Pink Floyd sold a lot of records? Oh, it was a quality music. It was money. It was that awful, rotten little single, Money. It was a massive hit all around the world and sold loads of Dark Side of the Moon, and they all bought nice big cars and whatever else, so, you know.
Heart and Soul from Joy Division from album Closer, Der zweite Album. Tony Wilson war wirklich ein großer Fan von Joy Division natürlich, und ich hatte ihn bei diesem Gespräch ganz vorsichtig gefragt, ob man vielleicht die Wichtigkeit und Bedeutung der Band Joy Division vielleicht doch ein wenig übertreibt. Er meint, definitiv nein.
Do you think it was detrimental in a way to the worth of the group?
No.
People going over the top about them so much?
I don't think you can go over the top about them. I don't think you can go over the top about early Bob Dylan. I don't think you can go over the top about Shakespeare. I mean, you know, there's nothing that people can say that does it. I mean, yes, he died for you was a bit stupid, which was the great Dave McCulloch line. I mean, that, yes, that's dim, but no, I don't think anyone went over the top. I think they're the most stunning group. I think you listen to this stuff now and you just go, wow. And, you know, and over the years it's always, well, if Ian hadn't killed himself, you know, you sold a lot of records on the back of that. You know, if he hadn't killed himself, you know, I'd be a millionaire living in Malibu now, thank you very much. And it wouldn't be a cold winter's day in Northern Europe. So, I mean, sod that. I mean, it was absolutely appalling that he went. They were the most remarkable group. I always quote Bono, who said to me, I'm sorry Ian died. He was the best of his generation. I'm the number two, but I'll do it for him. And I always think, yeah, you two were the number two group of that generation. Joy Division were number one. And, you know, we'd have had a Joshua Tree album in about 1984. Anyway, fuck it. I mean, a tragedy. And no, I don't think anyone could overestimate Joy Division. I don't think it's possible.
Tja, die Worte von Tony Wilson, der damalige Chef von Factory Records, der 2007 verstorben ist. So, Bernard Sommer erzählt nun vom Anfang der Joy Division Karriere. Damals hatten die Leute in Manchester eher eine ganz schlechte Meinung der Band. Man dachte, Joy Division taugt einfach gar nichts.
Well, what happened with Joy Division was that when we first started out in Manchester, we were, like, considered shit, right? And no, none of the other groups, nobody would have anything to do with us, right? Because we were considered really bad at that time. I suppose, like, in the, it was, like, a heavy punk scene at that time, and we were listening to Kraftwerk, David Bowie, Iggy Pop, I don't know. Sort of stuff like that, which at the time wasn't
fashionable,
yeah. You know, because it was just out and out punk that people were listening to. And I guess it made us different from all the other groups. You know, we didn't sound the same as them. When people got bored of listening to punk, they came on to us.
A New Dawn Fades von Joy Division von dem Album Unknown Pleasures 1979. So das Cover des Closer Albums und auch das Cover der 12-inch Single von Love Will Tear Us Apart zeigten Fotos von italienischen Grabstätten. Ian Curtis hatte die Fotos für die beiden Cover mit ausgesucht. Aber nach seinem Tod hatte die Presse vermutet, dass die anderen Joy Division Mitglieder die beiden Plattencovers als düstere Imagepflege extra ausgesucht hätten, um irgendwie vom Tod ihres Kollegen zu profitieren. Er war das Close-Album nämlich erst 2 Monate nach dem Tod von Ian Curtis veröffentlicht wurde. Bernard Sumner beteuerte seine Unschuld.
What was annoying was that we were accused of cashing in on it, whereas, you know, that to us would be like awful. To cash in on Ian's death to us would be like disgusting, but we were accused of it, so the music press it off, right? This is his tombstone. The cover of Closer was in actual fact a tomb, right? It's a tomb in Italy. It looks like a painting, but it's not a painting. It's a photograph of this really elaborate tomb in Italy. But we picked that cover before Ian died.
Global Terrorist Part as well.
Both covers, yeah. We picked them.
That's an important point, I think, yeah.
You know. Which is a bit of a coincidence, I suppose.
Decades von Joy Division, von dem Album Closer. Nun redet Bernard Sumner über die Zeit vor dem Tod von Ian Curtis und wie Ian Curtis eigentlich ein ganz lustiger Typ war. Und sie haben viel zusammen gelacht.
When Ian died, that was his second attempt, right? 2 weeks earlier, he tried to commit suicide. And the first one was really shocking. Because, well, we were only pretty young at the time. For your friend to try and kill himself was like really, really shocking. And like we knew he was in a bad way, but we just couldn't do anything about it. People do what people do. Sometimes you know you've got no control over it. Yeah, it was a shock. But when we were picking the cover, he wasn't in any sort of state at all, you know. None of us were. I mean, Ian was very... He wasn't what people think. He was a very up, jolly person. Like, we all used to have good laugh, you know. Not what people think, really. I mean, I'd probably be much more of a laugh now if it wasn't 2 o'clock in the afternoon. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I've just got out of bed. I look more jolly about 12 o'clock at night.
Atmosphäre natürlich von Joy Division. So an dieser nächsten Stelle nimmt Bernard Sumner Stellung zu den Vorwürfen, dass die Band sich mit Nationalsozialismus identifiziert hatte. Die Band hatte es zwar immer abgestritten, aber ich fragte ihn, ob es nicht zumindest geschmacklos war, die Band Joy Division zu nennen, nach einer Prostituiertenriege in einem deutschen Konzentrationslager. Und der Begriff New Order war auch die englische Bezeichnung für Hitlers neue Weltordnung. Und die Band sagte, dass New Order sich auf die neue Phase nach dem Tod von Ian Curtis bezog. Und Sumner bestand auf seine künstlerische Freiheit, sich auszudrücken, wie er möchte.
Yeah, but I mean, that's an expression of freedom, isn't it? I mean, it would be to try and stop you expressing yourself is a fascist action. I mean, the society we live in, you're supposed to be able to do what you want. Especially in the anarchistic atmosphere of 1977. You know. But the first people to come down on us were the people who were propagating anarchy. I had the music press in England. But we don't really give a shit. We still do whatever we want to do, whether it upsets people. Or pleases him. That's why we're in this business. To do whatever we want to do. But I mean, as far as the fascist thing goes, we're not fascists. That's all I need to say about it, really.
24 Hours von Joy Division, von dem Album Closer. Nun zum Schluss erklärt Bernard, wie Blue Monday zustande gekommen ist. Die erfolgreichste 12-inch Single aller Zeiten. Die Single wurde nämlich von schwulen Clubs inspiriert.
Really, Blue Monday came about by... I don't know, really. We were going in the studio to record our LP. It's just another record, really. It's not... I suppose it is commercial. But it wasn't, you know, we didn't sit down and try and write a commercial record.
Wasn't a conscious stance?
No. Maybe the music we were listening to, like over the last year before the LP, was more commercial, and it reflected itself in what we played. Like, we used to go to a lot of gay discos. Because, the manager of the group's gay, Rob. He used to have a lot of friends at the Techers there in London, right? So we used to get in for an out every time we went down to London, and we used to listen to all this music and say, oh, that's good, that's good. Mm-hmm. I suppose it manifested itself in Blue Monday.
So, das war das Joy Division Special. Ein altes Interview mit Bernard Sommer von Joy Division New Order von 1983, Tony Wilson von 91. Wir hören jetzt Blue Monday zum Schluss. Und das war der Nachtclub mit Paul Baskerville. Ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info Nachrichten.